But let's turn to Psalm 27. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 6. Psalm 27, 1 to 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. The war arise against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in your house, and we're just so thankful that we can come to your house and be in your presence and worship, Father. May our worship not fall on deaf ears, God. May you look upon and worship favorably, Lord. And we are just here to just to be in relationship with you, God. So, Father, I pray that you speak to me, God. I humble myself, Lord, and I pray that as I speak, Lord, you speak through me. May they not be my words, God, but yours, Father. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to all our American friends. Yeah. Woo! And for the rest of us who celebrated with our American friends, I hope everyone had a really good dinner. I know our house church did, and I saw a lot of pictures on Facebook and Instagram of turkey and lots of pies. In fact, because there's so many house churches, all the staff, they brought in their leftovers this week. So we had a lot of pie. It was great. So if you ever want, you know, you have leftovers during house church, just send it with the staff. I'm more than happy to eat it. My wife, however, always tells me to chill out a bit on the food. But with Thanksgiving, we also now come into the new season of, or one of the final seasons of the year, which is Christmas. Yes, that's what happens after American Thanksgiving, comes Christmas. And we started to see a lot of the signs of Christmas coming into Hong Kong. A few weeks ago, I was walking to the post office in the center, and you know, there's music playing. I started listening to the music, and they were playing Christmas music. I'm like, that's really early. And I looked down my watch, and it was actually past November 15th, and said to myself, wow, I mean, it's pretty late in the year. We're getting to that time of Christmas. And slowly but surely, you start seeing more of these signs. I actually saw them starting to put up the display in IFC a few weeks ago, and I thought, well, another really sort of tacky display that we always see in Hong Kong, but you're reminded of it. You walk around Times Square, there's all these decorations, and even my wife is starting to bug me about to put up the Christmas tree, and so far I've resisted. And my excuse is a perfectly legitimate one, is I don't know where it is. Or so she says, you know, because you put it away last year. I'm like, well, but for many, this is a very happy time. You know, you get to get together with families, people visit, you get to go home. You know, there's just a lot of joy. There's messages of peace and love, and Santa's always smiling. Polar bears are running around on icebergs, drinking Coca-Cola. But beyond all this commercialism, for us as believers and followers of Christ, this is a special season. It's especially important for us to celebrate, because we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. And it's an awesome time. Right? I love singing Christmas carols. I love listening to Christmas songs. And, you know, Mariah Carey, O Holy Night, where she goes higher and higher and higher. I love that song, by the way. So, you know, whoever's doing worship on Christmas service, please sing that song. But as much as this upcoming season is a time of celebration for many, some of us may not be feeling that same way. Maybe it was a bad year at work. Maybe deals didn't go through. You weren't successful. Or it's just been a tough year. It's been a tough go at it. and you feel like you've been pounding your head against the wall over and over again. Nothing's come of what you've, the effort that you've put in. Or maybe you've had relationships that's failed, you know, relationships with family or with friends. I know personally for us, for Cora and myself, you know, we have a situation with a friend right now, and it's been a little tough for us because we haven't seen progress in that relationship. We haven't seen, you know, we've been praying and it's been very long, and it's sometimes it's, you know, disappointing for us because we're like, God, you know, why is it like this? Why can't we celebrate this relationship? So maybe for some of us, we're feeling like that. Or maybe even it's our relationship with God. You know, we don't have that intimacy that we once had, and we try and, you know, we come to EMP and we know that it's not our works that determine our relationship with God or our intimacy, but it's just not there for whatever reason. So whatever the issue is, you know, you've had a long year or you've even had a long season. Maybe it's been 2 years where you've been going through this time, and you know, you just can't wait for this next season to come. You can't wait for the end of the year to finish. You can't wait for December 31st. You know, you can't, you know, Christmas will come and then December 31st, I'm like, yes, finally, I get to turn a new page, right? So for those who are in our midst and feeling that right now, I just wanted to really give you a message of encouragement and hope. And as I was preparing this message, I really felt like God was saying, you know, Andrew, give them encouragement. Not just because Christmas is coming and we should be reminded that there is hope, but that because there is hope in every single season. So what I'm going to try to do is to just go through some of David's life in the Psalm and in 1 Samuel to show you how we can continue to draw hope in spite of what we're going through. Sound good? Okay. That's my intro. I'm not like PSAM's 30-minute intros. I have 3 points today, or 3 things that I want us to think about. So here we go. Number one, God hears you. I know we say this a lot over and over again, and I've talked to friends, and they said, "And you know, I just don't feel any hope. I feel down all the time, and I don't feel like God is there." And I say, you know, God hears you. And they kind of roll their eyes at me. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. And, you know, to be honest, I know how they feel because I've gone through those times before. But God hears you. We say this over and over again and becomes a cliche. But that doesn't make it any less true, right? It is the truth. So for those who are going through this time or feeling like this, that the cries are falling on deaf ears, I just want to tell you that God hears you. And maybe there's a part of you that says, I don't want to cry anymore, or I don't want to talk to God because I have to maintain a certain, you know, image. I don't want people to think that I'm weak. I want to stay strong, right? And if we're feeling like that and you feel like you want to cry, you want to get it out there, you want to let your emotions go, but you can't, it's okay. You can cry. It's okay to let it out. You know, we are here as a community to receive it, to help you walk through this. If you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. So let me just set this up a little bit. So David, in this time, he is on the run from Saul. And because Saul is crazy, so he has to run, and he finds actually refuge in the Philistines. And the Philistines give him a city for him and his men and the families to stay in. And the city's called Ziklag. And he goes out actually with the Philistines while they go to fight Saul. And the Philistines realize, like, hey, why are we fighting this guy, Saul, and his kinsman is actually with us? So they say, no, David, we don't really trust you. Just go back to Ziklag and, you know, peace out. So David goes back to Ziklag, and upon coming to the city, he finds that the Amalekites have taken their women and children and burned the city. Now, when I read this, it's kind of the equivalent of me going to work, not SP, but like previously, going to work, having my boss say, hey, Andrew, how's it going? You're fired. Go home. Like, oh, okay. Then going home and finding my place completely burned down and all my possessions gone, and, you know, if I can't think of a good thing, but he's kind of lost everything. He's already on the run from Saul, and now he doesn't, like, his family is gone. And so we pick up in verses 3. We'll read 3 to 4. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. So David cried out to the Lord. David was saying, or from the depths of his heart, David was saddened, and he let this out. He let this emotion out, right? And, you know, does his cry fall on deaf ears? No, it doesn't. There's so many instances in the Bible, in the scriptures, where it tells you that God hears you. And I'll just read out a few of them for you. Psalm chapter 3, verse 4. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Psalm 18, 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Psalm chapter 34, verses 15 and 17. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. So God hears you. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, why does God hear us? And this might be a little bit of a stretch, but follow me here. He hears us because he gave us our voice. He created us, and he's the one that gave us a voice to speak. There's this innate desire in all of us to be heard, right? I mean, even when my wife and I are arguing, and we'll say one thing, we're kind of talking over one another, and our voices escalate because we want to be heard. We want the other person to hear us and to acknowledge us. There's a movie that I watched recently called The King's Speech. You guys have heard of that movie. It won a few Oscars a few years back, I believe. And there's just one scene that I remember that really articulates this need to be heard so perfectly. So if you guys don't know the movie, don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But basically, it's this speech therapist called Lionel Logue and Prince Albert. So this is a true story. Prince Albert back in early 1900s. And Prince Albert, he's about to be crowned king. But the thing with Prince Albert is that he has a speech impediment. He stutters. So he hires Lionel Logue, the speech therapist, to help him through this impediment and to, you know, help him speak publicly. Near the end of the movie, Lionel Logue and Prince Albert, they're in Westminster Abbey, and it's just the two of them, and they're just talking, and it's about time for Prince Albert's coronation, when he's about to become king. And so they're going back and forth, and Lionel Logue actually sits in this really important chair, and he kind of just says, oh, you know, whatever, it's just a chair. And Prince Albert says, it's not just a chair. And they go back and forth. And finally, you know, Prince Albert, he just lets it all out. He says, listen to me, listen to me. And Lionel Logue goes, why would I waste my time listening to you? Because I have a voice. And it's at that moment you really see Prince Albert's desire. I have a voice, even though I have an impediment. I deserve to be heard. Because I have a voice. And Lionel Logue replies, yes, you do. You have a voice, and you deserve to be heard. Each one of you deserves to be heard. Not only do you deserve to be heard, but each one of you is heard. God hears you. He's given you a voice, and he hears you. He hears your cry. He hears your prayer. He hears you when you pray about relationships that aren't going well. He hears you when you cry out to him and go, Lord, meet me. He hears all of it. Number two, God is able. Turning back to Psalm, by the time he wrote Psalm 27, you can tell, or you know, that he wasn't just a shepherd boy, but he was a grown man. You know that David has seen many things in his day, that he's gone through a lot already. So part of this passage, when I read it, is, you know, I can see that he's reflecting on his life, and during his reflection, we can see that David knows and understands that God is able, that God is able to do what he says he will. He's not just some God that throws out promises or says, I'll do this. And he's like, shoot, sorry, did I forget? Or, hey, David, I can't follow through on what I promised you. And you can see this in his mindset in the first few verses, or you can see this in David's mindset. You know, there's such confidence in his tone, such assurance. And it's almost to the point of being a little cocky and defiant as well. It's as if he's asking people, you know, throw your best at me. Throw your best. There's nothing that you can do to me. I have nothing to fear, right? Whatever you do, you try to come at me, you will stumble and fall, right? Those are the words that he uses. You know, he uses words like, he is my light. Lord, when it is dark, I have no fear. I will step out because you are my light. You go before me. No darkness can overcome you. Not that no darkness can overcome me, but no darkness can overcome you. Because you have told me that you are my light. You have told me you will rescue me and go before me. So I will step out. And I know that you will be there to shine the light. He also says, he is the defense of my life. Other translations say he is my stronghold, my fortress. He is my defense. You know, nothing can come against me. When I read that, I thought fortress, and I thought about Lord of the Rings. You know, there is that not Helm's Deep. Well, in the second movie, where there's that huge white castle, Helm's Deep. Sorry, my Lord of the Rings knowledge isn't up to par. Sorry, Reno. But I just had that image where it's so strong, impenetrable, and nothing can overcome. And that's what the Lord is to David. How could I possibly lose? I have the Lord on my side. Even in the face of hundreds or thousands of enemies, I will not fear. And David went through this himself, right? He had Saul come against him. He had to go against the Amalekites. He had the Philistines. He even had his own family come against him. Right? Even in the face of impending war, he knows that God stands with him. He has his innate trust in God. That is the very fabric of his being. God will do what he says he will do. God is able. So I want to, want you to reflect on that for a second. You know, where is our mindset right now? Is our mindset of the one where we just believe that God will say what he will do? We believe in God. And like, God, you say this, I know it, but I'm going to go do this and make sure that this will come to pass. I'm going to use my own strength. I'm going to make arrangements. Or do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt? We know in our hearts, we know that we know that we know that God will come through. You know, where is your confidence? Is it in his word and in his promises? Or is it in your own strength? See, David's confidence was in God and his word. No matter what people would say, whatever circumstances came to him, his faith remained in the Lord. And when David first came on the scene in 1 Samuel, he gets called out from the fields to get anointed. But when he actually starts to do something, right, when the action really happens, is when he brings food to his brothers, because his brother's in the army and he is not. So he's, just a teenager. He's a little kid, right? I don't mean to say teenagers are little kids. He's a teenager, maybe 15, 16 years old, right? Think back to when you were 15 or 16 years old. What were you doing? I was, playing basketball, having fun with my friends, and, just doing stupid things as a teenager would do. So he was bringing food to his brothers, and all of a sudden here's Goliath taunting the Israelites, taunting God, and he goes, how dare he do that? How dare he? He feels indignant. I'm like, I'm going to get you, sucker, right? As a teenager, right? And so he goes to Saul and says, I will stand against Goliath. And Saul goes, okay, right, what are you going to do? You're not even in the army. But still, David says, I will go. And this faith is, found in the Lord. And on top of that, he tells Saul, don't worry, Goliath, don't worry. I killed lions and bears before. As if it was, I do that in my sleep. So his confidence was in God because he knew. It's not that God had to show him, but he just knew in his heart that God is able. His stronghold and his defense was not based on his own wisdom or strength. It was based on the Lord. And when we get into that mindset of, Lord, I know that you will be able to do what you say you will do. When we get into that mindset, amazing things can happen. Despite what the world will tell you, despite what circumstances will show you, despite what you yourself know will happen, what your knowledge will tell you, amazing things will happen. And I say this not because I'm just preaching and I have to say these things, but because I know it. I've lived through this before. Before I came to Hong Kong, I was living in Canada. I grew up in Vancouver, and then I moved to Toronto in my mid-20s, and I lived there for a few years, and I was actually working at Cathay Pacific. I was a flight attendant. But then one day, God said, Andrew, move to Hong Kong. And I was filled with so much doubt. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have really not too many connections in Hong Kong. I have some family. I don't have the right to work here or to live here. Where am I going to find a job? I don't know anyone, really, in the professional field. But despite all these doubts that I had, I said, okay, God, you say that you will take care of me, you will provide for me, and that this will work out. I'm going to go do it, despite all my doubts. So I moved halfway across the world without a job in Canada or in Hong Kong. Like, I had nothing. And I said, okay, well, I sold everything. I shipped my car off to my parents to help me sell. And I came here with like 3 suitcases. And I was living, with a friend of mine. And if you know anything about flight attendants or the kind of work that they do, it doesn't translate really well into a corporate world, right? If there's a job that allowed me to ask people whether there's chicken, beef, or fish, or if they want chicken, beef, or fish, I'm awesome at, You want some peanuts? No worries. I can show you where the exit is. But, I thought to all these doubts, I'm like, God, how, I have no skills. I started flying after university, and, everything told me that I can't do this. I can't, there's no way I can get a job that will help me or that will allow me to survive in Hong Kong. But lo and behold, God came through, and I ended up working in corporate real estate. So I went from flight attendant to corporate real estate to now intern at a church. So very different careers I've had. But the thing is, God provided. God said, and I listened. And by the time that I left the real estate world, I actually ended up becoming the project lead for one of our company's products. And there's only like 8 people that does this thing in the whole entire, or in my company around the world. So I look at that and I say, man, that's crazy, right? God said he will provide, and God came through. So do we know that God will do what he says? Do we know that he will carry out his will? Or is it just something that we throw out there every so often because, we're taught to give those Sunday school answers? Who saves us? Jesus. Who's Almighty? Jesus. Who can do what he says he do? Jesus. Right? Is it something that we just throw out there? Do we really believe it? Maybe God is speaking to you right now that there's a situation in your life that he wants you to step out in faith, and maybe, I don't know what it may be, but maybe he's asking you to do what you think is impossible. Maybe he's saying, just do this and know that I can do it. And take hope in that. Because whatever your situation may be, God is able. to bring redemption into relationships, to bring restoration into your life, to bring peace. God is able. Number three, God wants us to actively seek him out. As a king, you know, David would have had lots of things on his plate, lots of things to think of. And even as I prepare this message, the staff have been amazing this entire week. They've helped take a lot of my duties so I could focus on this and not completely freak out about giving a message on Sunday three times. So I can only imagine what kind of things that David had to go through, all the duties that he had to carry out as a head of state. But even being a king, he had his priorities straight. Part of his job was to administer Israel, but it wasn't just to administer Israel. His priority, and he knew it, was his relationship with God, because that's what God desired with David. And that's why he writes about his desire to be in the house of the Lord in Psalm 27, because he knew that his relationship was important. He knew that's what he should be doing, the first thing that he should be doing. He wasn't necessarily looking for riches, for conquest of other nations or worldly influence. The one thing that he desired, one thing, was to be in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And when I read that, I'm like, wow, I get this conviction that he was so single-minded in this devotion. Right? And we read it. David was a man after God's own heart. He was so single-minded in his pursuit of this, to be in the house of the Lord, so that he could see his presence. He could see his beauty. He could just be in relationship with him. Because being in the house of the Lord reminded David of everything that God was. He reminded David of everything that God had done for him in his life. Reminded David of every single time that God came through for him. And reminded David that he had hope, because God will continue to be like that. And for David, this was more than just a desire. He says in verse 4, "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek." He didn't just sit there and wait. I'm like, okay, God, I love you. Come. He went out and actively sought the Lord. He went out and actively sought the presence of the Lord. And, you see this evidence. He wrote so many Psalms, and it's about him worshiping God. It's about him crying to God, him seeking out God's presence. And when he did it, it galvanized him and it strengthened him. It filled him with hope, filled him with joy. And that's what actively seeking out the Lord does for us. It strengthens us. It strengthens our faith in him, and in doing so, we are filled with hope of what is to come. What is to come in situations in our life? What is to come 5 years from now? What is to come when we die? We are filled with hope. See, in writing this psalm, there's no anxiousness in David whatsoever. It's only, there's no negativity. There's only positivity. Because he was assured of safety in the presence of the Lord. When trouble comes, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. He's not worried that people are coming to get me. I must, I got to prepare myself. I got to shield myself. I got to get my sword. I got to get my shield. I got to gather my men. He goes, no, in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. But notice that God does not completely remove trouble from him. Right? Just because you cry out to God, Lord, I'm in this. He's like, okay, I will help you. He doesn't magically wave a wand and your troubles disappear. Right? But in those days of trouble, when you actively seek him, he will come, and his presence and his just himself is so much bigger than all your troubles that they become an afterthought. It's kind of like when you're looking at the night sky and you want to look at the stars, but there's like a really bright light or a moon or whatever it is. And that just takes up all, you know, you can't see the stars because of that radiance of the moon. That's kind of like what he's like. Everything is there, but you can only focus on him because he just draws you towards him. And when David goes to the Lord, he knows that victory is his. So that's why there's a vow of, or vow in anticipation of victory in verse 6. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now, how many of us will sing praises to the Lord when we're facing really tough times? I know that for me, it's difficult to. And I have to make an effort to, and consciously in my mind, choose to do that. Right? But for him, it seems like such an easy thing, because he was actively seeking out the Lord. He was saying, God, I'm in your presence. I know there's trouble, and I know you will hide me, and I know you will protect me, and I know that you are there. So I will give you praises. I will sacrifice. I will sing praises of victory to you. Even though it hasn't come yet, I know you are there. And this is all because he sought out the Lord. He was active in his seeking. If we turn back to 1 Samuel 30. So continuing on from after he finds out that the Amalekites have taken his family and his children. Or this is what happens. Verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. So even in the face of all the opposition that David was facing, he went to the Lord, and the Lord met with David. Now, people were wanting to stone him. People were wanting to kill him because they're like, hey, man, our women and children are gone. Our families are gone. Our homes are destroyed. Look what you have done to us. We followed you. We trusted you. And now, look, we have nothing left. There's been situations where when I was actually responsible for sections in the plane when I was flying, and sometimes things would go bad, and people would naturally look for someone to blame. And, you know, they would come to me and say, Andrew, this happened, and now we have three passengers that are wanting to complain. And I'm like, okay. So the first thing that we're trained to do is to talk to that passenger, right? To calm them, to hear them out, rather than to find a solution. But in my mind, I'm like, wouldn't you like a solution rather than me talking to you? But for them, they want to be heard, right? Because you have a voice, you want to be heard. But David, he doesn't stop to tell people, hey, guys, listen, it'll be okay. Just trust in me just a little bit more. For him, he immediately goes to the Lord. He goes to the priest and tells him, please bring me the ephod. And he inquires of the Lord. He went to the Lord immediately. He didn't even sit there feeling sorry for himself, like, oh, where are my wife and kids? You know, he cried, but he didn't sit there in a perpetual state thinking, oh, you know, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to work out. You know, he wasn't down on himself. He got up and he actively went to seek the Lord. And after seeking God, David was filled with hope because of what the Lord had promised. Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Later on in the end of the story, they actually rescue everyone. And in verse 19 goes, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. How is this even possible? When you go into battle, people get killed. But in this case, they didn't lose anything. Right? It's amazing. And David knew, David had hope that this was what God would do for him. You know, if this is the part where it might get a little harsh, but considering I'm still an intern, I'm not going to go all harsh, like peace on you guys. But if you're here today and you're feeling like, oh man, you know, it's been such a long time that I've been going through this dry season. I've had to deal with this for, you know, 2-3 years, or there's just no hope. I don't see any way of this ending. And if you're feeling like that right now, I'm not trying to diminish your situation, because everyone is in a unique circumstance. But if you're feeling like that today, stop. Know that there is hope. Right? Know that when you come to God, God will meet you, just like David did, and take hope. Because it's not that God treats David any differently. God treats David like he treats, or God treats David, and in that same way, he treats us the same way. And so take hope in that. David was God's son, so are you. You are sons and daughters of God. Take hope in the fact, like David did, when you search out God, you will find him, and he will strengthen you. He will give you courage. He will speak to you. He will meet you. So how do we actively seek him? Now, that's a good question. Pray. Simple enough, right? Come to EMP. EMP is too early for you? Come to lunchtime prayer. Lunchtime prayer is, you know, you're too busy at lunch. Come on Sunday to pray. Come to pre-service prayer. Stay after service to pray. You know, instead of going off to lunch or talking to friends, stay in the sanctuary and pray. Come up to the well. You know, I'll be here after service to pray for you, to speak with you. Just be in his presence and pray. See, it's something that we have to be intentional about. We can't just say, okay, you know, I'll find time later. And I'm guilty myself of doing this. Like, yeah, I have time later, I'll do it then. And something else comes up. Be intentional about it. You can also turn to your community, right? It's your house church, your friends, your accountability group if you have one. If you don't, go find accountability partners. Community is so important. And before I moved to Hong Kong, I had friends that spoke prophetic words over me, and they're just giving me advice. And one of the things that they said, and I won't forget, because you know this is one of the reasons why I ended up at SP, was because of community. They told me, you know, Andrew, you're going to be in a new place and you might not know everyone, but the people that you do know, the people that you do meet, right, reach out to them. Because the exact moment where you want to withdraw is the exact moment where the enemy starts rubbing his hands with glee. Right? You want to just go home, be by yourself, and wallow and sulk, whatever it is. That's when the enemy goes, oh, this is great. I've separated another one from the flock. Right? So I'll say to you this, the exact moment where you want to withdraw is the exact moment where you should be reaching out. So if you're in a house church and you don't really know your house church members that well, go out to lunch with them, as awkward as it may be for you. Right? If you're an introvert, sorry, do it. I'm an introvert. I have to do it. Right? And I find that after I do it, it's like, wow, this is such a great idea. Right? How about this? After service, turn to your neighbor and pray for them. I see some people kind of going like, Step it up a bit. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what's going on in your life. Right? That's a real challenge there. And it's not that I myself have mastered this as well. Most of the time after service, I'm like, okay, I'm gone. See ya. I'm hungry, or I'm thirsty, or I got something to do, right? Very rarely do I stay in service and talk to people, which is, you know, God's way of convicting me. Andrew, turn to your community. Now, I'm telling you all this not because I want to give you a formula of how to get out of this hopelessness or how to get out of this place that you're currently at. Because if we want a formula, if we want a list of, you know, X, Y, and Z, you do these things and you'll be fine, right? Then, you know, maybe we have the wrong idea. Because God didn't send his son down to us so that we have a list of things that we can do. God sent his son so that we have a relationship with him. And in this relationship is where we have hope. Where we know that there is something better, there is something more. That we can be confident that there is victory at the end of the road. Or not even the end of the road, middle of the road, there's victory. Just like for David, there's victory. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And that is the hope that I feel like I felt in preparing for this message that God wanted to give you, that the encouragement that God wanted to give you. If you're here today and you feel like this is speaking to you and you feel like, oh, I identify with this, however, you know, whether there's a small part of you, a large part of you, and really take these next words that I speak as the Father speaking to you. Know that I hear you and the cries of your heart. Know that your calls do not go unanswered. You're not talking to a wall. And know that I will not just sit back and watch you stumble and fall. Know that I am able, and the things that I say I will do, I will finish. And know that as you seek me, I will meet you. I will place hope inside of your heart that will blossom in your life. So as I close, let me invite up the worship team. When PSAM suggested that, or he didn't suggest, he told me to do this message back in October, I figured that I would have 6 weeks to freak out. And I was praying through it. I really had no idea what to preach about. I really had no idea what God wanted me to say. But as I prayed through it, I actually thought about speaking on Advent at first. I know we don't really celebrate Advent at SP, and you know, that's fine. I mean, every church has its own traditions, but Advent kept coming up. So I did some research on it. Now, Advent is a time of anticipation and preparation for the arrival of Christ, his birthday, right? As his birthday has already come, we now, in Advent traditions, we now prepare and wait for his second coming. And we also celebrate his birthday, or his birth, which is Christmas. So this time of Advent is actually leading up to Christmas. Now, Advent has four themes, right? As there's 4 weeks of Advent. Hope, love, peace, and joy. Today is the first day of the first week of Advent. And I was like, I thought that was pretty cool when I was doing all this research. Do you know what the first, or do you know what the theme of the first week of Advent is? It's hope. Is that a coincidence? Maybe. I tend not to think so. I think God is saying to you that there is hope. And, you know, God wants to use this message, the words that he's speaking right now, to remind you that there is hope for you in this season that you're going through, right? You don't have to wait until Christmas. You don't have to wait until New Year's to flip the page. You don't have to wait until Lunar New Year to flip the page. There is hope for you in this season. It's hope isn't just something that you say, okay, well, I'm going to wait for this thing to happen, the turn of the year, and then flip the page, and then I'll have hope. Hope is available for you now. Because even when you flip the page, those issues never really seem to go away. They're always there. So that's why God asks you to meet with him. Those troubles will always come, but with him, he gives you the hope to persevere, to push through, to go to victory. I want to ask yourself, is there something in your heart that is causing you to feel like there's no hope? What is it? Is it a forgotten promise or a promise that you think God forgot? Do you think that God missed timing? That, Lord, this could have happened if only you did this one little thing, I could have had this life. Are you facing difficult situations that you don't know how to resolve? That no matter what you do, no matter what you think of, it won't solve the situation. I really want you to take this time to ask God and to reveal to you hope. That whether you think that there's mistimings or promises or whatever it is, that God gives you hope in all these situations. And that as He, that He renews His hope, that He restores His hope. So that you don't have to wait till next year. You don't have to wait till 6 months from now. You don't have to wait till your next job. You don't have to wait until, you see someone again. That you have hope now, right now. Today's also Communion Sunday. Today is a day, or we remember Christ's sacrifice and how His sacrifice really allows us to have hope. So I can invite the communion ushers to come forward. And as we prepare to go to the table of the Lord, let's just reflect on the sacrifice that He made. And I'll read from the Word, 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. So as the ushers pass out the elements, I want you to take and hold the elements, and we'll all partake together. And as they come around, I really want you to just examine your heart and reflect. Is there anything in my heart that's preventing me from coming to the table in an unworthy manner? And if you do, just pray and deal with that. Ask God for forgiveness and just ask Him to do a work in your hearts.
Sing this song together. Jesus Christ, I think upon Your sacrifice, You became enough, poured out to death. I've wondered at Your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where You died. And broken. again I pour out my life.
Is there anyone who has not received the elements? Let's pray. And as we pray, let's reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. His body broken, his blood shed, so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can have hope. Father, we thank you, God. We're just so humbled by the sacrifice that you made. And we come to you today to your table, Lord, and we partake in this. And we not take it lightly, God, but we are just so grateful, so full of gratitude, Lord. So we thank you. Is Christ's body broken for you? Is blood of the new covenant shed for you? Let us rise, and the worship team will lead us.
Exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens. One day I'll bow, but fall down, I marvel at the saving grace. Once again.
Father, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace, God. We thank you, Lord. Father, help us, remind us each and every single day, Lord, of the sacrifice that you made, God. And fill us with hope, Lord, that because of this, Lord, we are able to look to you. We are able to be in relationship with you, Father. We thank you, God, for that, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for my friends. Be with them this week. Be with them in their season, Lord. Renew their hearts. Fill them with hope, God. Fill them with joy. Bless them in their lives. Bless them in the work, their families, God, and their relationships. We thank you, Lord. In God's and in your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.